Gather to the sixth chapter of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. We have just considered relationships in marriage and the family and in the workplace, in the homestead. And in this society and in this culture, it takes every bit of effort to cultivate godly relationships in those areas. And we should not be surprised by the words that follow. Verse 10, chapter 6, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Finally, my brethren. Finally is a word that an audience loves to hear. They know that the talk is concluding. But it can be a moment when the listening stops and one assumes that there will be merely a summary of the proceeding, or a concluding thought relatively unimportant compared to the message itself. Actually, this idea conveyed by the word translated finally is critical to the preceding message and important additional information in preparation for the subsequent message. The word means, it can be translated henceforth or hereafter. So he's wrapping up and he's relating to the previous message, and he's preparing believers for the message to come. So as Christians, he's saying, your lives, your relationships reflect the gospel, and therefore you are targets of the opposition that I'm going to remind you of in the following words. So be strong in the Lord. If you are to have a godly marriage, you need to be strong in the Lord. If you're to have a godly family and godly sibling relationships, you need to be strong in the Lord. To be godly parents, you need to be strong in the Lord. A godly servant, godly master, to be strong in the Lord. So really, isn't he kind of repeating the key that was mentioned earlier? In chapter 5, verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess," or waste, "but be filled with the Holy Spirit." And isn't he saying that in a different way? Be strong in the Lord. What is it to be filled with the Spirit? But the Spirit is omnipotent, and if He fills us, there's the strength that we need. That's the substance of our strength. Our strength is not in ourselves. Our strength is in the Lord. It says in the power of His might. It's His might that causes us to have power and ability to do what we need to do and to see the gospel succeed through our lives. So we are to be witnesses and also warriors in this world. And it requires supernatural strength for us to fulfill these tasks. Such is the opposition, the opposing forces, that it is necessary to be empowered by the Lord, or we will be overcome by the flesh, the world, and the devil. And so important is this need for God's strength. He uses three Greek words in verse 10. It says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." You see three Greek words for power. Strong is actually a verb. It's an imperative. Be strong. But it has the word dunamis in that word, we think of the word dynamite, and then power, and then might. So they're all synonyms, but the emphasis is on power, the need for God's power. And remember from the prayers, Ephesians really is a book that it doesn't correct false doctrine like Galatians and Colossians, for instance. It's focusing more on teaching them the gospel and the need to be gospel people. But you remember from the prayers, the emphasis on power, for instance, in chapter 1, it says that God may give us, we might know the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. That was back in chapter 1, the first prayer that was mentioned. But then the second prayer of Paul in chapter 3 also focuses on power. It says that God would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able. Now the word able has the word to become able, to be made able, to be strengthened. That we might be able, that we might have the ability to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of Christ. And so, verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. So this book emphasizes the need for the power of God in our lives, that we're weaklings, that we're weak in and of ourselves. And that such is the opposition and such is this culture of sin and death that we need strength, daily strength, in the inner and outer man, and in every sphere, in order to be witnesses for the Lord and to war with the opposition. The relationships that have been mentioned, our church relationship, witness in the world, relationships in the world, marriage, the family, and work. There are challenges and tensions, you remember. We need God's power to overcome our sinful tendencies in these relationships. The tendency of the master to bully the servant. The tendency of the servant to be argumentative and resist that authority. The tendency of the husband to be self-centered. And the tendency of the wife to manipulate. Tendency of children to rebel, the tendency of parents to shirk our responsibility and provoke our children to wrath. All these relationships, because we're in a fallen world and we're fallen creatures, we need God's power to overcome sin and temptation and to be strong in the Lord and therefore to be strong in these relationships. The devil wants to put wedges between all of us. He wants our relationships to be fractured, to be weak, to be ineffectual as gospel illustrations in the world. He's warring against us, the Bible says. Paul calls him the devil in verse 12, the evil one in verse 16. He has no good in mind. He wants to destroy, to deceive, to divide. So, such is our life here that it calls for extreme readiness, extreme strength, vigilance, skill, and warfare. Let us take heed to our need of being strengthened, strong in the Lord, and the power that His might supplies for us. First, it's addressed, notice, to my brethren in the Lord. And I have to ask you this morning, are you in the Lord? Are you in the family of God? It speaks about those who are in the Lord. Now, I understand there may be a different nuance than earlier when it speaks about us being in Christ. But the thought is certainly here, are you in Christ? Not are you near Christ? Or you're almost persuaded But you look at a circle and something is in. It's inside the circle, not at the out, not near the edge, not on the edge, but inside the circle. Is Christ in you? Are you in Christ? That's a description of the union that we have with Christ in salvation. Oh, may it not be said. May you not say, I'm almost persuaded to be a Christian. I'm near. Remember, as Jesus said to the one man, you're near. But he didn't say he was in. He was near. I wonder if he ever got in. You can be near all your life, as it were. And we might describe people that are hearing the Word of God weekly as near the kingdom, but not necessarily in Christ. Please trust Him. Ephesians describes those who are in Christ as made alive or quickened. Have you been quickened? Have you been made alive? You were dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But God comes and regenerates and makes us alive. It describes believers as saved. Can you say, I'm saved? I'm rescued from my sin. I'm rescued from the wrath of God. Believers are called saints. Saints aren't those who have been made so, declared so by a pope, have been canonized. Saints are simply those who have been separate unto God, are holy in the Lord. We're described as believing in Ephesians. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? We're described as His poems, His workmanship. We're described as those who are new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. He's addressing believers. You, if you're an unbeliever, you cannot be strong in the Lord. You're weak, you're vulnerable. And the devil's not your friend, even though you're in the same kingdom as the devil. The devil deceives you, deceives his own people. He doesn't even have an interest for the fallen angels with him. He has no interest, he has no love for his own people, for those who are similar to him. You're unfit for any relationship if you're not in the Lord. You're unable to become strong, or you're unable to overcome the evil one. It's addressed to those who are in Christ, those who are Paul called his brethren. May it be today that you come to know Jesus and become a brother, a sister in Christ. Secondly, one can be weak though they're in the Lord. You can consider that. You can be weak in the Lord. You follow me? A person can be saved and yet be weak nonetheless. He's commanding believers to become strong in the Lord and to remain and to continue strong in the Lord. But the Bible indicates there are people that are saved and yet are weak in the Lord, if you will. Paul addressed Corinthian Christians as babes, though they were saved for a while. He couldn't give them spiritual meat. He couldn't give them whole doctrines because they were babes. John addressed Laodiceans as blind and wretched and naked. He addressed later Ephesians, the same church that's meant that we're studying here. He addressed Ephesians years later as loveless. They had all their T's crossed and all their I's dotted, and yet they had lost their first love. They left it. They were loveless. Oh, they were theologians, but they were loveless theologians. They were weak in the Lord. We can be weak in our relationships, weak in our warfare, weak in truth, weak in the doctrine of justification, as I quote the armor that suggests the places where we ought to be strong. Weak in righteous works. Weak in gospel peacemaking. Weak in faith. Weak in the assurance of salvation. We should become aware of our weakness. We should not confess as the Laodiceans, we have need of nothing. But we need to become aware of our weaknesses and therefore desire to become strong. One can be weak though is in the Lord. What is our condition today? Are our spiritual muscles strengthened? Or do we have atrophy spiritually? as those who, when they aren't using their muscles, just simply lose the effect. As we know, people who become paraplegics or those who lose the ability to function, their muscles become weakened. And I don't know what the word is other than atrophy. It just the muscles just become unable to be exercised. Oh, that God would revive us. The first step to becoming strengthened is to recognize that we're weak. Lord, we're weak. Strengthen us. Third, yield now is the idea. Be strong. Become strong. Be empowered. Interestingly, it's a passive imperative. It's a passive imperative. In other words, we have no wherewithal to strengthen ourselves. It's like saying, wait on the Lord. One of the hardest things to do is wait. We want to work. We want to move. But wait. Waiting can be the hardest work. David said in Psalm 40, waiting. I waited on the Lord. Be filled with the Spirit in chapter 5, verse 18 is a passive imperative. Present your bodies as living sacrifices and be transformed by the renewing of your mind are passive imperatives. In other words, Lord, here am I. It's not saying that we're unwilling. It's not saying, well, let God do it and I'm not going to cooperate. No, it's saying, I can't do it, but I'm willing, Lord. Here am I to be strengthened. Strengthen this weak vessel. Psalm 27, wait on the Lord and then He will strengthen your heart. So it's a person waiting to be strengthened, not waiting and challenging, not waiting and hoping that he won't be motivated and hoping he won't be volunteered into the fray. Psalm 6 or Isaiah 40, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's what we need. We need a renewal of strength. We may have been strong before and we've become weakened. Again, you read the seven letters to the churches. And only two of them are strong. Only two. Isn't the Lord saying something? This message is to all the churches. This message is to all the churches of all ages. Generally speaking, isn't the Lord saying the church is in a weak state? The church is compromising. The three middle churches were in a compromising position. The two outside churches, Ephesus and Laodicea, were ready to lose their position as churches. The strongest churches were just inside from the outside. Isn't there a message there? The church is generally weak. We need to be strengthened. Let us not say, oh, we're Smyrna and we're Philadelphia. Lord, we have to confess we're more like Thyatira and Pergamos. We're more like Laodicea. And Lord, we've lost and left our first love. We yield now, Lord. Don't remove our candlestick. We pray. How do we yield? We pray. Psalm 6, verse 2. Have mercy upon me, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me. Psalm 20. Strengthen. The Lord strengthen you out of Zion. He strengthens us in public worship, and we use the means of worship. Psalmist, Psalm 119, 28. My soul melteth. Strengthen thou me according to your word. Will we remain weak? Or will we be like Laodicea? We have need of nothing. And yet, there's a discrepancy, it seems like. Yet when we acknowledge our weakness, then we become strong. Remember what Paul said, though we be weak, yet we are strong. The Lord even said to church, thou hast a little strength. A little. A little is better than being weak. And we confess, if we have a little strength, Lord, give us more strength, much more strength to be strong in the Lord. We need to yield now, not tomorrow, not next week. Lord, we're weak. We yield now. We pray that you'll empower us. You'll strengthen us in the inner man. You'll strengthen us to grasp the dimensions of your incredible love. Fourth, may we practice the means of strengthening. May we lift the little weights that will strengthen our spiritual muscles. It says, be strong in the Lord. Yes, in the Lord can mean an expression for salvation in Christ, but I think in particular it means it's the sphere of our strength. Be strong in the sphere of the Lord. I think that's the idea more here than just a synonymous expression to in Christ that we find over 10 times in the first chapter. In other words, there are many areas to become that we are strong in, but the area especially that we need to be strong in is in the Lord. In the Lord. In other words, there are many good things that we are strong, that we want to be strong in or we become strong in. But let's choose the most excellent. You can be strong in your job, and you ought to be. The believer should be the best that he can be in his job. We should be the strongest that we should be in our service for the Lord. There are people that are strong in hobbies and pastimes, strong in media, strong in sport. But the Bible says to be strong in the Lord. What does that mean? To be strong in knowing God. To be strong in being a student of the Word. To being strong in prayer. Strong in resisting temptation. Strong in meditation. Strong in skill with the gospel. Strong in obedience. Strong in discernment. Strong in love. Strong in joy. Strong in peace. Strong in long-suffering. Strong in kindness, in faithfulness, in self-control, in gentleness. Strong in worship. Strong in fellowship. Building up the muscles of our mind. Building up the muscles of our heart and of our soul. Lifting the weights of prayer, of Bible reading, of psalm singing, of Christian loving. Building up our spiritual muscles. Engaging our hearts to seek the Lord. Christians, we cannot afford to be weak. Churches cannot afford to be weak. Not just that we may lose our spot in the kingdom of God, but our marriages need us to be strong. Our families, the master-servant relationships. The world is perishing. It needs strong believers to be flags in this world. Lights pointing to Christ. The devil is punishing, is punching, is strong. Is an enemy to the people of God. We need to be strong in the Lord's body. Isn't that what it means? Be strong in the Lord's body. If you're a hand, strengthen your hand. If you're a foot, strengthen your foot. If you're an ear, strengthen your hearing for the church. Jesus lives in us. When we are weak, then we are strong. When we acknowledge we need strength. When we are empty, then we become filled with the Holy Spirit. When we acknowledge, when we're aware of our weakness and our emptiness, spiritual vigor is derived from God's strength. He's omnipotent, and He can cause us to be potent for Him. Thy strength, Lord, is made perfect, is shown through my weakness. May we have an acknowledged weakness, a lamented weakness, and then a supplanted weakness with God's strength. Henceforth, He says, hereafter, from now on, for the remainder of your life, become strong in the Lord. Is there not a cause? Is it not yet time? Romans says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Is it not high time for us to awake out of weakness? May we be like Samson. Remember, he weakened himself by his compromise, by his sin, by his immorality. But the time came when he acknowledged it. And he said, Judges 16:28, O Lord God, remember me, I pray Thee, and strengthen me, I pray Thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Avenge me, Lord, I've compromised. Avenge me for my eyes that have looked upon things that I ought not, ears that I've purposely heard things that I ought not, that have vexed my soul. Strengthen me, Lord. You hold the key of David to keep the door of opportunity open for us. And you don't close the door and no man will open it. Jesus keeps us from the hour of temptation to make us overcomers so that we'll stand in the battle. Jesus, like at Laodicea, stands at the door of our hearts and the door of this church knocking. He's on the outside, as it were. You want to remain weak? Lord, open the door. Open the door and come and fellowship with us and let us fellowship with you. Lord, let us become strong in the church, strong in the world, strong in our marriages, strong in our families, strong in our farms or factories, strong in the fray, strong in the field of battle. Lord, start it now. Start it now and give us grace to exercise daily, to strengthen the things that remain that are ready to fall. Oh God, strengthen us. We wait upon you. Let's pray.